Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
Yes, we are.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. When it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Everybody, and oh boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We are Uncensored Radio, and you know we are your guiltiest pleasure. Tonight, Jeffrey Emmett is in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm fantastic. Excited for all the people that are getting to talk to their hero.
I agree. And Katrina Johnson has a coffee cough. She's on the line, too. How are you, Kat?
Hello. Yes, I think it's the universe protecting our special guest, and that is why I'm losing my voice.
Right. And James is our producer. He is greeting the calls tonight. James, I know you're excited about this one.
I am. I am very excited.
Well, you know what? I'm very excited as well, and we're not going to waste any more time because I know we've got a million people in the chat room. We've got a million people waiting to call in and ask questions. David Yost is on the show tonight. David, how are you, my friend?
Karen and everyone else, thank you so much for having me, and I'm doing
well. You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
You said you have a million people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people wanting to talk to you. And for those who, like, barely crawled out from under a rock, you guys know David Yost. He played Billy on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He's a really great friend of mine. And I'm very happy you're here.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here and support you.
Thank you. Thank you. David and I are really good friends, and I've had the pleasure of working with him since Power Rangers on other projects, and he's just a great guy, so I'm glad that everyone gets to talk to him today and meet the real you, you know, get a chance to meet you. What would you say is something that about you that's different from your character, Billy? Because I think sometimes fans think that we're one and the same. What is one thing that's different about you than he was?
I think the most noticeable thing would be that he was, super, super intelligent, and I am not intelligent in the way that Billy was intelligent as far as books go and getting good grades. Is that Katrina laughing at me?
Yes, because I see you in action, and I know better. I know you're very intelligent, especially as a producer.
Yeah.
Nice of you. But, I mean, I'm not an inventor. I don't understand science on any level, and Billy was very scientific and always making inventions, and, you know, he was light years ahead of most people. So I was just a very average student in school and all that kind of stuff. So that would be the major difference. It was fun to play an intelligent person.
Yeah, okay. I get that. Yeah, because he was pretty smart. Like, we'd have a problem, and Billy invented the solution, like, right on the spot. Kind of great.
Like, is that one of the things you hated the most about it? Because I noticed throughout the show, since Karen's been on with us, I've gone back and, like, watched it on Netflix. The glasses just seem to disappear, and the overalls, and all of a sudden you've got, like, buff shirts on. And what was all that? What happened there?
I did hate the overalls. I just thought, you know, I spent my first season, which was 40 episodes, in overalls, and I just really couldn't handle it wearing them for another day. So I did push to move Billy into different types of wardrobe. And the glasses, honestly, I don't mind wearing glasses. I still wear glasses to read at night and things like that. But the glasses that I wore on the show had fake lenses in them, and they hadn't really perfected the craft of making the lenses correct for lighting and stuff like that for the camera, so it didn't glare in the camera. So the lenses I had like a, they would spray dulling spray on it, so I was never really seeing clear, and I noticed that my eyesight started to change and things like that, so it just became more of a thing where I just was getting frustrated in my personal life with my eyesight changing because of the glasses that I was wearing at work. So I just, you know, got rid of them when we went into the movie, and Billy got contact.
I love it. Yeah, because to me, I was like, you know, Billy's so smart, he would have, you know, invented something to fix his eyesight. But, you know,
Yeah, I did too.
What were you going to say? He probably was.
I was going to say he probably invented LASIK surgery, that's all.
Exactly. Billy would have invented that. I agree. So I never asked you this question, but I always wondered, what was your audition process like? Because, you know, you're part of the original cast. Like, you guys, when once we came on, the show was a hit. What was that like when you first auditioned?
It was really intense and exciting. I think, like I've mentioned to some people, but maybe some people in your audience don't know this yet, but I originally started auditioning for the part of the Red Ranger for Jason. So I had my first three auditions were all for that role because I fit sort of the description that they were looking for at that time. They were looking for somebody that looked like Jason Priestley and kind of had that look, and that's sort of what I looked like at that time. And so my first three auditions were for Jason the Red Ranger, but then something inside me was saying, you know, you're probably not going to get this role. So I asked the casting director, well, would I be able to read for Billy as well? And she said yes. And so then I started auditioning for Billy and Jason at the same time, and then eventually they just said, okay, we're going to call you back, but we're only calling you back for Billy. And, you know, it just kind of progressed from there. And I had a total of 8 callbacks in total.
What?
Until I got the role of Billy. So it was really on, you know, it was a crazy, it was like over the course of a month, maybe a little bit more of a month period. And it was just really intense. And, you know, every day would bring something new, or every week would bring something new. And you would be wondering if I'm going to get the job, and having to make up excuses at my other job, you know, calling in sick or just not showing up so I could audition for this role.
What were you doing then? I've never heard this story.
I worked as a room service waiter at a really expensive hotel on Sunset Boulevard. So, you know, I was like, Whoopi Goldberg lived in the hotel, and that's the time that she was dating Ted Danson, and Pierce Brosnan would stay there. River Phoenix, before he passed away, was staying there. It was like amazing, the people that would come through there. So it was a really great job, but obviously I wanted to be in the same position that all those actors were in.
There you go.
Yep.
That's awesome. Wow. Another
so
thing
Whoopi
I wanted
to get our french fries, but we all got a new childhood hero. I think it worked out.
Exactly. Speaking of childhood heroes, I actually have a question from one of the fans. Let me make sure I get this person's name right. Gary Bingaman asked, who were your heroes growing up?
I grew up in the era of the original Star Wars, and so, I mean, I was all about that stuff, but I really identified with Darth Vader. Like, I just thought he was, like, the most amazing thing.
What?
That makes the most sense.
I thought I was going to get a Princess Leia. Did not see that coming.
So I don't know what that says about me personally, because I'm on the dark side, but I did love that. And then, God, what was the other show? There was a show on TV, Battlestar Galactica. Like, I loved that show as well. So,
okay.
But, you know, I would say Darth Vader was like my biggest inspiration growing up.
I love it. Well, it just tells me that you like to be in control. Like, he was willing to do whatever to control everything.
Oh, my God, we're going to get into psychological analysis.
Interesting.
You know, lay on my couch, David, so I can psychoanalyze you.
Yeah.
Trust me, all of them, Katrina, Jeff, they've all been psychoanalyzed by me.
She's horrible.
That's right.
She's a monster.
She's a monster.
She really is.
I'm Darth Vader, too. I think I like Darth Vader also. Matter of fact.
Good, good.
There
We're
you
on
go.
The same team.
Exactly. So how did you parlay? Obviously, you were acting. You did this huge show. Then you decided to go into producing. How did you shift gears and go into producing as opposed to, you know, pounding the pavement? I know you were still, you know, getting other acting roles, but it seemed like producing became your love at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a combination out of necessity to pay bills and also just, like, being interested in that aspect of the entertainment industry. I just remember watching Jonathan, one of our producers on Power Rangers. You know, I just was always fascinated by his job, and I loved his work ethic and his moral standard, and I based a lot of, you know, my stuff as a producer on him and his philosophy of how he did things. I just thought he always ran an amazing ship. And, you know, so when I came back from Mexico after having my nervous breakdown, I wasn't really sure about really acting 100%. I mean, I still wanted to be an actor, but I just thought, well, I'll start working towards being a producer too, because then maybe eventually I'll produce my own stuff. And, you know, I had to start off like everybody else. I became a PA, and I got people coffee and took out the trash and cleaned the toilets and all that kind of stuff. But luckily, my smart helped me move up pretty quickly. And, you know, I didn't have to hang out there too long doing that kind of stuff. But then I just started working on documentaries and then on reality TV shows and just kept going from there.
Right. And see, that's the thing, people don't know. Yeah, no, people don't know. Like, you've worked on several known shows. Can you want to list some of those? Because they don't even realize that you've been in the mix for a long time. You know, I think they get confused because you're not acting, but you're producing major shows. You're part of major production companies.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on a lot of trashy, so to speak,
my favorite. Right.
But I'm not always. I mean, I love obviously the production companies that I work for, and I support everything that they do. But you know, just like it's not always the thing that you really want to be working on. I mean, a lot of times it's just for a paycheck. But yes, I've worked on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The first big reality show that I did was Temptation Island way back in the day. You know, so. there's been like a slew of other stuff, movies of the week that have aired on Fox and on Lifetime, and I have like 3 shows that are on Cartoon Network now that are live action shows that I'm really proud of, and I think they're funny, and the people that we get to guest star on the shows are just like some of the hottest comics and comedians in Hollywood right now, so it's just fun to come to set and work with so many talented people that really kind of inspire you and at least make you laugh at the end of the day.
Right.
Well, if you're looking for 2 women, I've got 2 right here that, you know, for a small fee, I could hook you up with.
You're pimping them out, huh? You're there.
Absolutely. How do you think she's going to, where? What is it, where are we going, Lexicon? I'm like, we're going. Yeah.
He's like signing me up for many, many conventions this year, and I was like, what are we doing? I already arranged it. I've negotiated your rate. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, I'll be at Lexington Comic Con too, so I'll be happy to see you there.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great.
We all have to go get into trouble.
Okay.
David, you gonna get into trouble with us?
I'll do my best.
How much trouble could we possibly get into in Lexington, Kentucky?
Have you met Katrina?
I got a new purse that holds a full wine bottle, so plenty of
Okay, change my mind. We can get into a lot of trouble. David, can we dial with you?
You what?
I want to dial. Oh, Miss Girl, no.
Go ahead.
I just want to dial back for a second because you mentioned you had a little breakdown. And I know, you know, I think everybody at this point kind of knows you went through the ringer a little bit in your personal life. And I kind of want to know, like, what was that like for you at that time? And how did you get through it? Because I think there's a lot of kids out there who are going through it now that they look up to. And, you know, you were their superhero. And to know that you went through the same thing, I think, speaks a lot to them.
Yeah, it was like, I don't even know where to begin with this. It was really difficult for me to be a gay person and to grow up as a religious person, and just sort of my whole battle with myself was being gay and also being in the right side of God, as people say. And so that was...
Were you Catholic?
A big conflict from, not Catholic, but I grew up very similar to Mormonism. I grew up in a church called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Very good people, very liberal people, but you still hear the things in the Bible that people think that it says and, you know,
right.
All that kind of stuff. But I also grew up in states like Montana, in Colorado, in Iowa. And, you know, it's those aren't... I can remember being in middle school. It was either 8th or 9th grade. I can't remember specifically. And this is when Rock Hudson, who was a famous actor back in the 50s and 60s, contracted the AIDS virus and died of AIDS.
Right.
And this is like the first time that we're sort of hearing about AIDS. But I can remember being in Montana, and I remember being in PE class, and I remember people really talking about gay people that day because of Rock Hudson and how bad it was, and see, this is what happens, and those, I don't know what type of language I'm allowed to use on your show, so I'll refrain from using
it. You can use any language. We're uncensored.
Okay. I'll use the word fag, you know, like they were using that word, and I can just remember, like, just realizing that I was like Rock Hudson, and, you know, here I am in Montana, and I just, there wasn't really anybody that I knew of that was like me. And so I can just remember really struggling and really, you know, hating myself at that point, because you know you're like this, and you hear everybody saying all these bad things about you, and you're not really sure what to do about it, and you question yourself, well, why am I like this?
So, well, how old were you when you realized? Because I was like you, I went to Catholic school my whole life. I didn't know any gay people. I didn't even know what it was. So when did you realize what was going on?
I knew that I was attracted to other guys or boys, whatever, since the time I was 3. Like, I have a very distinct memory at 3 years old of being attracted to my neighborhood, my neighbor boy. My neighbor.
Hey.
Whatever. And,
the whole neighborhood
is
very nice. Me too.
Yeah. I always knew, but I thought it was something that would go away, or that I could definitely pray away, or that I didn't have to acknowledge. It was something that I just tried to shut off and stay away from. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way.
No.
Right.
So, anyways, getting back to my breakdown, so, you know, just for me, the struggle was always like, I don't know, you know, just, I just kept continuing to hear that I was bad and that I was wrong and this, that, and the other, and I thought, well, once I get out of middle school, it'll be different in high school, and I thought, well, once I get out of high school, it'll be different, I'll be in college, and then I still heard the same shit in college, and so then I was like, okay, well, once I get out of college and I get into the real world, I won't have to listen to any of this stuff. And then you get into the real world and people are still calling you a fag and people are still making fun of you and, you know, still making you feel bad about yourself. And you have all these preachers on TV like Joel Osteen or Pat Robertson spewing their crap about it's not right in the eyes of God and hate the sin, but whatever they say.
Yeah.
Right.
Hate the sin, but love the sinner kind of thing, whatever it is. So, you know, you keep hearing that, and eventually it adds up. And for me, I did everything in my power to have what we consider to be God to change me. And unfortunately, it didn't work, and it just led me to have a nervous breakdown. And it was a really scary, traumatic experience to feel like you're losing your mind. And to sort of be on the fence, like I really do understand what it's like sometimes when you see homeless people and they're kind of speaking to imaginary people. You know, I was kind of on that fence. Like I understood, like if I kept going, I could probably potentially literally lose my mind.
Right.
And so luckily I got help when I needed help. And, you know, I did try to kill myself. I thought about it quite often. It was something that I struggled with for a long time. And,
right.
You know, I know, unfortunately, that other people still struggle with that, and that's why I get so very upset with religious leaders and even people within our own government that still continue to bash gay people because they don't realize that, you know, it just takes that little comment, and that little comment could throw somebody off a bridge, could cause them to shoot themselves in the head. You know, it could do a lot of damage. So, you know, I hope people hear what I've been through and that they know that there is hope and that there is opportunity. Unfortunately, like a guy I knew, he was a photographer here in Hollywood who was gay, and he struggled with depression and alcoholism, but also with being gay. And he recently committed suicide just a few days before Christmas. So even after, you know, it's just not adolescence. It's people that go into their adulthood. You know, we think we're done with the darkness, and unfortunately it still might be there. So anything I can do to help alleviate that for people, I hope they hear my story and that I can help guide them maybe in some direction.
Right. So obviously you mentioned you got help. For someone who's feeling that way or is on that edge, you know, what was it? What was the turning point for you to where you said, you know, was it therapy? Was it family? Was there a moment that changed things for you?
Well, I can just remember I was just driving down the street one day, and I just, you know, I just thought, I really felt myself losing my mind. I was in Los Angeles, and I just, you know, I just said, God, I'm sorry. It was the whole me trying to pray the gay away stuff. You know, I just really thought this is going to happen, and I just was coming to the realization this isn't going to change. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and I just need to get help. And so I drove myself to Cedars-Sinai emergency room and spent some time there. But I decided it would be more important for me to go home and spend time with go to a hospital that's closer to my family. So I left the hospital and I jumped on a plane and went to the hospital. The turning point just was like I just couldn't take it anymore. I was tired of hating myself. I was tired of being depressed. I was tired of letting other people dictate who I need to be.
Good for you.
And so, you know, it was just kind of that kind of thing. But it wasn't like this magical moment. It was like, I mean, I had months and years of trying to get myself back to what I think is a normal level of functioning in the world. It wasn't, you know, this whole gay reparative therapy is extremely damaging. And I don't care what anybody says or what kind of stuff that they put out there as far as scientific evidence on one side. It is extremely damaging to your mental psyche. And anybody that says differently is fooling themselves. And I think we're pretty clear now that it doesn't work. I just, you know, if people out there are involved in that, I just really want them to know that they are 100% perfect the way that they are. And people telling you differently is completely bogus. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry that these types of things exist because they create a lot of damage. As a gay person, sometimes you're already damaged as it is because, like I said, when you're growing up, you hear all these bad things. So you automatically think you're bad, and then you think you're getting help, but the help that you think you're getting, they're continuing to tell you you're bad. They're not helping you accept yourself. So it's, I don't know, it's a vicious circle.
Right.
And it's a very dark, dark circle.
Wow, thank you for being so honest. You know, it definitely is a sign of strength in my mind, in my heart, when I hear someone being so honest about a very vulnerable time, because you obviously,
absolutely.
I mean, I've known you for so long, but when we saw you at Morphicon, I mean, it was obvious the love the fans have for you. I mean, there was an auditorium filled from the front to the back for David. Like, it was amazing to watch. So for you to be so honest is such a beautiful thing, because I don't even know if you know the magnitude of what your words and your experience is doing for other people. I know you as a personal friend, so I love you. But like them, I know that they hold on sometimes to every word we say, and it's such a beautiful thing for you to be so honest about everything.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller. I want to take, yeah, no problem. We have a caller. Her name is Ophelia. Hi, Ophelia. She's calling from Singapore.
Wow.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I just want to say that I've been a fan. The last time when my Team of Power Ranger was on, I was a teenager, and now I'm over 30 years old. But I've never forgotten my Team of Power Rangers, and I've been waiting for each individual's actors, like whether what project they are on, and I try to watch them. And now Amy Jo Johnson is at the Fresh Point, so I'm quite happy to see that some of them have advanced in their career, and I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, did you have a question for David?
No, I just want to call and say that I've been a fan, I've always been a fan, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for Power Rangers, and I might have a little surprise for everybody towards the end of the show regarding Amy Jo Johnson.
Ooh, we're interested.
Wow. Oh, how are you going to steal my thunder? Okay, me and you, we're going to have words at Kentucky, homeboy.
Just show him a bottle of wine, David, and he'll forget what he was going to say. One of the people in the chat room, they had asked earlier in the week, they said, if you were able to write, produce, and direct an episode of Power Rangers, what would it be about?
Huh. Well, I did, when I was on Power Rangers, I did, here's my dark side, I did write an episode. I found it the other day, and I was reading it, and it was an episode about Billy, of course, because maybe I was narcissistic at that time.
Hey,
and
you gotta get
I wanted
the
camera
time.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, it was like sort of giving Billy's backstory about his mother and how Billy never had a mother. She was never established on the show. She had, in my mind, she had died of cancer when she was 7 years old. I mean, when he was 7 years old, which I thought might be, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who have lost their parents, so I thought it might be something that would be relevant to some kids. And so I wrote
Absolutely.
This episode about how Billy's mom had passed away of cancer, and I don't remember if it's Lord Zedd or Rita Repulsa, creates a monster that's called the Transformation Monster. And this monster can transform into anything it wants, and it transformed into Billy's mother and appeared before Billy. And talking to Billy and really, you know, kind of messed with Billy's head. And so Billy kind of lost himself a little bit, and he decides he's going to go off on his own, and he's going to take care of Lord Zedd for once and for all. So he manages somehow to transport himself into Zedd's chamber, and and then the rest of the team has to kind of come and help get Billy out, because once you're in Lord Zedd's chamber, you can't teleport out. So it was like having to figure this way to get out and all this kind of stuff. So it was a really dark. I think I presented this to one of the.
You're dealing with some demons.
I think I did send it to. I gave it to one of the producers on the show, and they were just like, I don't know that that's, you know, it's a good episode, but I don't know that it's really right for kids' television. So,
you know what, though? I bet you anything they would have done it now. Like, in today's time, it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, probably. I was rereading it the other day, and I really liked it. I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Again, being narcissistic, as I am. Thank you, my sister, writer. But,
I love it.
Yeah. So that would probably be the episode. I mean, I thought it was fun and exciting and scary and everything at the same time.
Yeah. I love that. I like that kind of an episode. Well, you know, let's take some more callers because they've been waiting for quite a while. This person's actually been waiting the entire show. Hey, caller, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Eric.
Hi, Eric. You have a question for David?
I do. I was wondering, I know your schedule is kind of hectic and whatnot, but is there ever a chance that you might visit Indiana and maybe do a meet and greet in Indy or Bloomington?
I don't have anything scheduled along those lines right now. I know I am going to be speaking, this is a whole different state, in Illinois. At the University of Illinois. But I'm trying to think, if I had anything in, I mean, nothing is scheduled in Indiana right now. There's always possibly opportunities for me to make my way out that way. But, you know, I don't know how far you're willing to travel to go to different cons that might be a few hours away from you. That might be the best way. I'll try to post on my Facebook page or on Twitter, like, all the different cons that I'll be attending this year, and then maybe you'd be able to find one that might be close to you.
Awesome. We did get another question a few days ago where a fan was asking if you liked getting fan mail, or have you kind of stepped away from it, and if you do like getting fan mail, where can they send stuff? So that they can, like, write you and maybe request autographs and those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I love fan mail. I get fan mail all the time. I mean, what a lot of people do now is just direct message me on, or private message me on Facebook, and I will answer you. Sometimes it'll be immediate. Sometimes it might not be for 1 or 2 months. I apologize.
So, not that I would know anything about that.
I'm not trying to avoid people. It's just there's times where I sit down because, you know, I'll read them, but then to really go back and answer them, it's like you really have to sit down and be prepared, and because I answer, like, a lot all at once.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
that's why sometimes it takes me a little while.
Yeah, and I was going to say, David is a busy man. Like, we'll say, okay, let's have lunch. And, I mean, it'll be like 3 weeks later, we finally coordinate schedules and we're able to do it. And it's just like, okay, we got an hour, we got a two-hour window. And it's just, it's so busy, especially, you know, working in the industry. We've got another caller. She's actually someone who is one of our favorites. Hey, Bree, how are you?
Hello. My question for David is, okay, I have hydrocephalus, and so I have always wanted to learn how to do flips and stuff, and so I figured I'd ask you this question since you're in get gymnastics and stuff. And so would it be best for a person who wants to learn how to do flips and stuff, like if they have stuff that has to do with, like, head injury and stuff, would it be best if they use a helmet?
I would say absolutely 100% yes.
Yeah.
And depending on how you decide to learn how to do flips, I mean, probably the best way now would be to find a gym that has a trampoline, and along with the trampoline, they strap you in, and then you sort of learn how to flip that way. I would say that's probably the safest way.
Right.
But when I was growing up doing gymnastics, we didn't really have any of that, and there were plenty of times where I hit my head. So I would hate for you to hit your head, you know, if it's going to cause you further injury or stuff like that. Always protect yourself, always.
Yeah, and also, Bree,
consult
your doctor.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Ask the doctor, baby.
Ask your doctor, girl. We need you. We need Bree in our lives.
Hey, guys, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead,
David. I am a firm believer that blondes have more fun. Now, I know you're on my team with this, so I need to know, what are some of the fun things that you do to amuse yourself on the set?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna.
You're a dirty blonde.
I thought she was gonna be like, you know, you've gone back and forth between having blonde hair and streak. You know, I thought you were gonna make fun of me on
like
that.
Half blonde for a while.
Yeah, I had skunk hair. I had skunk hair.
We all did. It's okay.
It was so in style. No one thought of it that way.
What are some of the fun things I like to do on set? Was that your question?
Yes. How do you amuse yourself?
I probably, you know, this is probably one of my biggest faults, I guess, in life, is that I'm a very serious person when it comes to work and work ethic. And so, like, maybe I don't have as much fun as I should on set. I'm just focused on doing I'm just focused on doing the job.
Wow.
And so,
I'm funny over
it's not that I didn't have fun, and enjoy people's practical jokes and stuff like that. And it's not that I didn't chime in on them, but, you know, I just really enjoy working on set and as an actor. And so I was just always focused in that sense. So it's not that I don't have fun and play around, but I like to have fun outside of work.
You know, speaking of fun on the set, right before you came on with us, Karen, James, and I were having a little discussion. Now, are you the one that likes peanut butter and fly sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, I love them. They're my favorite.
I thought Dave and Frank did that to Steve. I didn't know he did that to you. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's gross, like, when you think about it. And but, you know, I didn't know it was in there, and I ate it. So, whatever.
Oh! Okay,
I mean, you want
to show...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I just say you watch shows like Survivor and the crap that they have to eat. So, I mean, it's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
Okay. Well, before we get another caller, I've got to know, can you tell us an embarrassing story about Karen? Because she told us some about you. You just didn't know.
I've never told an embarrassing story about him.
I don't know that I have any embarrassing stories about Karen. Karen was a good girl.
I do have
a picture that she would hate if I posted.
Please post.
I sent it to her. I sent it to her, and she was mortified. But it's like when we went out to do the movie, and the original helmets like didn't have mouthpieces. They painted our face silver, like our mouth area silver. And so I have a picture of Karen just sitting there with her silver makeup on, and it just looks ridiculous. And
you can post it. I'm not easily embarrassed.
Yeah, no chance.
David, are you the one that has the photo of her getting sick while they were doing the skydiving?
Remember when I was growing up, when we were on, I was on the, I think it has to be JC Frank, but I was up on
it's
the ropes and... Yeah, and I was, like, throwing up in a bucket.
Well, David, I just want to say, if you get your hands on that photo, I'm willing to pay a lot of money.
Me too.
So on the throw-up photo, I can arrange that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
But what's
the one? I need to tell her to take a call. I'm just joking. Yeah, they want to see me like not so serious. Like they want to catch me, you know. That's why they want an embarrassing moment. I keep telling them, like, you know, I didn't really do much. I was actually pretty boring. If I could do it all over again, that's one thing I probably would do, is probably enjoy that moment more than I did, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, let's take another caller. Hello, Tommy. How are you, Tommy?
Fine.
Hi, you have a question for David?
Yes. What was it like being, okay, in Power Rangers Zeo, when the aging thing happened to him? What was it like? I mean, what was the situation going on of you not being a ranger? Why did the producers decide to not make you a ranger again?
Well, I don't know.
Ooh, scandal. Scandal.
I don't know that I have the answer for that, honestly. Other than, you know, I know that the creator, Haim Saban, always liked the idea of, like, what they do in Japan, and that's always switching the cast every year,
mm-hmm.
and which he does do now. But, you know, I think... it kind of led itself to that, and yes, I was getting older and all that kind of stuff, so I'm sure maybe that played a part into it as well. But I honestly don't have the answer as to why they didn't continue my character on as a Power Ranger in Zeo. That would be something to ask them, not me.
Yeah.
I just was there to say my lines and hit my mark.
That's right.
You know, and
wow.
When we've talked about it with Karen, like when they switched the three people out,
yes.
What was going on behind the scenes? Like, was it chaotic? Was there fighting? How bad really was it?
I don't think it was chaotic, and I don't remember. There was no fighting. It was just like three actors stood their ground for what they believed they should get, and the production company didn't agree, and they were just released to their contracts. And, I mean, it was never crazy or chaotic. It was just like one day they were there and one day they weren't there. And then we shut down production, so to speak, and we did a casting search for three new people, and the three new ones came in. But I don't – there was never any craziness. It was
like,
sad on one
like,
level.
Ah, who are these new bitches? Like, you know.
David was actually so super nice. I remember our first day on set, we had a wardrobe fitting, and he came up to the set because he heard we were going to be there just to meet us, like one-on-one, like without everybody around, and he was so super nice. That's what I remember.
Well, I'm glad you remember that.
I don't remember. Yeah. Because
that was the one and only time I was ever nice. Otherwise, I was a total bitch.
Right, and he was like, "These bitches."
I knew it.
If you wanted to be nice, you could do a new version of Temptation Island, and it could be me and all of the straight male rangers on one island.
Oh God!
Temptation Island, Ranger Slayer Edition.
Ranger Slayer Edition. Yeah. I think it's time to take another call.
It could be a gold mine on Nickelodeon.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Nate, how are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great, guys. My question is for Dave. How you doing, by the way? And,
I'm good. Thank you, Nate.
And also, I was wondering, how did it feel to play a bully in the episode of Ranger Punk? Punk Ranger on season one, when you and Kimberly became under some sort of spell, where you guys turned like bad, like rebels and stuff. How did it feel to transition to that character? And also, I was wondering if you could give a shout out to Morphin Legacy Tiny Chat. They're watching right now, so I was wondering if you could do that as well.
Okay. Well, first part, it was obviously it's fun, obviously. I mean, they did this a lot with Amy Jo and I in the first season. It seemed like they let our characters kind of be different things. And so, mm-hmm. obviously, it's fun to be something different than just intellectual Billy that nobody understands. So it was fun to break. It was fun to break character and to be kind of mean and be kind of a jerk and get to beat up Bulk. I don't know if that was that. I'm pretty sure it was in that episode. Like, I kind of pushed Bulk around a little bit. So... yeah, it's fun to do that. And I'm going to – did you guys put him on mute? Because I didn't catch the full name.
Oh,
of,
yeah. You know what? I can grab him back. Hey, Nate. Who is the shout-out to?
It's to this chat page that's listening right now. It's called Morphin Legacy's Tiny Chat. And I want to see if you can give a shout-out to them right now.
Sure. So, Hey, Morphin Legacy. Here's a shout-out, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Uncensored Radio, and I hope you're enjoying your time, and thank you for listening, I guess.
Yeah, you say shout-out makes me giggle.
Because I got my street cred. I'm shouting out.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I love it. He said, shout out.
Karen's giving him street cred.
I have given him street cred. I've told him how to, you know, I've taught him a lot of words. David knows how to dance. David, you want me to tell him how to dance you do with the broom?
What? Karen taught me all kinds of stuff. She hooked me up.
So we should have him come be our dance instructor on Uncensored Reality. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we go on any farther and we take any more questions, I'm going to do a little surprise for everybody right now. So I'm walking into a house, and I'm going to have somebody else give a little shout out to everybody.
Oh, nice.
Fine. Let's see here. Where's Amy Jo? Hey, Amy Jo, say hi.
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 How are you, Amy? Say my name.
talk to you in forever. Yeah.
Hey, Karen.
How's it going?
Hang on, I can't hear you. Hi, Karen.
Okay.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You don't even understand. The fans are probably going berserk. We've got so many people listening. yeah, you have to come on one day. How are you?
I know
you're a mom now, and how's life?
Life is fantastic. How's your life?
It's great. We have to catch up.
Oh, my God, we had so much fun in Australia, me and you.
We did. We used to go get our tarot cards read all the time. We had so much fun. Like, we made friends, and we were just all over that city. Wow.
Okay, David just wanted me to say hi. All right.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
Yes, thank you for
coming out and getting in touch with you. I want to talk to you and hang out with you.
Absolutely. Are you back in L.A.?
No. Oh, well, for 4 days. And then I'm going back home.
Okay. Well, when you're back, let me know, and we'll do it.
Okay. Okay, here's David.
Bye.
Bye.
Agent. Ouch. She hit me on the app.
Oh,
anyway, I hope everybody's surprised that we got to talk to Amy Jo Johnson, too. So
I know.
That was so
very
sweet.
You don't understand. The fans are going bonkers in the chat room. They are going bonkers. So
I was totally trying to pull that surprise on you two, trying to hunt this girl down, finding who she really is on, like, Facebook and Twitter, trying to surprise you two, and you did it to us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so we only have about 13 minutes left. I want to take as many callers as possible because I know they're dying to ask you questions. So we're going to speak through these calls. Okay, David?
Sounds great.
Let's see. We have got Brandon on the line. Brandon, you have a question for David?
Am I boogieing with the bear?
Yeah, you are, baby.
That's right. All right.
You got a question for David?
Can I ask two?
You can ask one.
Make them quick,
we got like 24 callers waiting.
Okay. So, David, I got to say, what was the process like for you kind of developing the character of Billy? Because, like, at the beginning, it's like, you know, he was like, the nerdy guy, but then he got more more casual, more popular, kind of more a leader type. You know, how did you as an actor kind of put that forward? Like, you know, how was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I just wanted Billy to progress as a human being, and I just think, you know, I just wanted to switch him up every chance I got a little bit just to help him grow so that he wasn't just such a narrow, one-dimensional character. And so, you know, he's always going to be intelligent. He's always going to be smart. And, you know, but it doesn't mean that he can't have other interests, like being more physical and being more challenged in other ways. And having, I think he had like 8 or 9 girlfriends, so he was pretty crazy. But I just really, as an actor, enjoyed playing him and enjoyed getting to go on the ride with him to see where he ended up. So, you know, I did have some influence on that, but it was also the writers and the producers as well.
Right. Okay, so we have another caller on the line. His name is Jeremy. Hold on if I get Jeremy on the line. Hey, Jeremy, you have a question for David?
Hi, Karen.
Hi,
Karen.
How are you?
Good.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, David, I was at MorphCon. It was a pleasure to meet you. I know no one really talks about the movie shoots that often, so how were they, and what, besides being in the movie, what's your favorite movies?
The movie suits were extremely heavy, but they were, I thought, kick-ass. I thought they looked really cool.
Awesome.
So, I mean, that was great. But, yeah, they were really a pain to put on and to wear and all that kind of stuff. And the second question is, what is my favorite movie? Is that what it was?
Yeah. What's your favorite movie?
Well, I have a lot, but the one, this is really going to make me sound like a gay guy, but the one that I like the most is a movie called Terms of Endearment. And I can watch that movie how many times, and I cry every time.
Oh, I love it. That's a great movie, though. That's a classic. Okay, we've got Adam on the line. Adam, what is your question for Dave Dios?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Hello.
Hi, David. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Aubrey. My question is, in the movie, how to feel the change suits, like from like nylon spandex to like plastic.
I thought it was great because it's so embarrassing to wear spandex because I have like really skinny chicken legs. And so, like, when we got to wear the movie suits, it made it look like I had really muscular legs, and it was so much better. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, I agree. Spandex is, like, very, like, it's like walking around in your underwear. Like, it just was not cool.
Y'all look fine to me, okay? I just watched it. Y'all look fine.
Yeah, you get like, self-conscious, I guess, you know. But we have another call. Hello, Nicholas.
Hello.
Woo. Hi, how are you?
Good.
You have a question for David Yost?
Yes.
What is that?
I know there must have been like a lot of fun times on set, but like, what were like your least favorite times on set? Like, what stuff did you like hate doing?
Good question.
Did I hate? What stuff did I hate doing? I hated doing voiceovers. when we'd have to go into a booth and like when you see us in costume and we're fighting, we'd have to go in there and go and make those kind of noises. I was very self-conscious doing that, and I shouldn't say I hated it. It was obviously part of the job, but I don't know, I just liked being on set and being around the cameras and all that kind of stuff. I enjoyed that a lot more than going into a booth and doing voiceovers.
Right. So I have a question. What is like? What's on your iPod right now? Like, what do you like listening to?
I was looking at that the other day, and I really I like a lot of Rihanna, and I question that. And
why do you question it? You're funny, man.
And, like, I'm not going to say people's names right, but is it Tao Cruz or something like that? How do you say his name?
Yeah, Tao Cruz.
And Tao Cruz and Usher. And I don't know. I just have such – I was like, wow, I really like some weird music.
R&B?
No, it's not weird. It's
music.
But I like it.
It's party music.
I like all the remix versions of their songs. So it's, like, more dancey type stuff.
Housey.
Like club
stuff.
Housey, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, who knew?
Who knew? I told you, I got my street cred, girl. So.
No, David is high on the list with street cred. Man, this is awesome. You know what? We got another call. Jennifer Richard. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm good, Karen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Do you have a question for David?
Yes, I do.
What
David, how did you get started in the whole Power Ranger routine?
The routine as far as the TV show?
I think she's talking maybe the choreography. Is that what you're talking about, Jennifer, the choreography? Or, like, what do you mean?
Basically, like, all the moves and stuff.
Oh, the choreography.
Well... we work with a stunt coordinator and our stunt people, and, you know, they choreograph a fight sequence for us. And we just learn the moves, and we go through it, and we film it on camera. It's very stylized and very safe, and, you know, things look like we're hitting each other, but we really aren't hitting each other. It's all done with camera angles and cheating things.
Right, we try not to hit each other.
Has Steve ever tried to choke you and teach you how to get out of that?
No. I mean, Jason Frank for sure. But Steve, I would have kicked Steve's ass.
I don't know, David. He was tough. He had his hands around my throat. I was afraid for my life.
No,
you know what we
like,
did, David? On the reality show, we took a class with Steve, one of his jiu-jitsu classes, and he showed us how to get out of a chokehold.
Yeah. And then they put my fat ass in yoga. It was like hell on earth.
Yoga is awesome.
I passed out. I just collapsed.
Ooh. And you know Steve's girlfriend, she was like, it was like somebody walked in and threw a bucket of water on each one of us. Like, we were dying. And the yoga class was already like 10 minutes long. It was a riot. It was a riot. Like, there's no reason why it should have been so difficult for all of us.
And let me clarify, so people don't think, like, I'm bagging on Steve. Steve lives 2 blocks away from me. We're extremely good friends, and I think he's an amazing teacher. He is. I've taken classes with him, and he would sure kick my ass if it really came down to it. So.
I don't know, Dave. You and your street cred, my money's on you now. my money is on you. Okay, so we only have 4 minutes before the show ends. Scott, you're on the line. You have a question for David?
Yeah, hi, David. I was wondering if you've ever realized that it's been art imitating life as far as you starting in front of the camera and then moving behind the scenes by working with Adult Swim and stuff, like how Billy was on the battlefield as the Blue Mighty Morphin Ranger and then moved to the command center for Zeo.
I haven't honestly thought about it in that term, but I can see what you're going for, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out to me.
I know, right? Who thought of that? I never even thought. Okay, Kevin, how are you, Kevin? You're on the line with David Yost. Do you have a question?
Yes. Sadly, in 2001, we lost the original Yellow Ranger. So I was hoping you could honor her memory by sharing with us some of your best memories of the late Tui Trang.
Aww.
Great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Tui was just so beautiful in real life. I mean, she's beautiful on screen, but when you saw her in person, she was just stunning. And she had an amazing laugh, and I enjoyed working with her greatly. She was a lot of fun. So I have a picture of her. She's always doing her hair. So I have a picture of her, like, spraying hairspray in her hair, and I see that picture all the time when I go through my some of my Power Rangers stuff, and it just makes me laugh because she's always doing her hair.
Aw. Well, David, I thank you. That is a great way to end the interview. I thank you for coming on. Thank you for surprising us with Amy Jo. I know the fans are even more in love with you for doing that for them. Over the, you know, course of, gosh, it's been since 95 that we met, and you have always been such a great friend to me. And now, you know, that I'm getting into producing and you've been even more better friend. You've been, you know, giving me pep talks. You've always stayed positive. And I just really appreciate you being in my life. And I'm so glad you were able to come on Some Kid Radio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on, and it's been a pleasure, and, you know, I would love to come back some other time and talk more. And thank you to all of the fans out there. Yeah, and thanks to everybody that's listening and that is going to be listening in the future, I guess, but thanks for being in the chat room and talking and asking me questions. I greatly appreciate it, and, you know, you can message me on Facebook or on Twitter, and I'll try to answer as quickly as possible.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you, David.
Have a great night.
You guys, too. I'm going to go eat dinner with Amy Jo now.
All right.
Have fun.
Give her a hug. Give her a big hug for me.
I will.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Fans take over. Oh, and if you want to buy pictures, I get messages all the time, people wanting pictures. Go to my Facebook page, Official Karen Ashley, or my Twitter, @KarenAshley, and all the information is there on how you get fan autographed pictures. Bye, everybody!
That's right. Oh, do we got music?
We got music. Real. There it goes.
Hey, everyone. It's AMC Press with Allison and Frodo.
Well, it's me right now, and
yeah.
we're hoping for the rest, but this is
yeah.
what we got right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, one thing we were doing last night on our show, well, we kind of did a little bit of a panic because we didn't have many co-hosts planned and scheduled.
Yes. Yes.
So we managed to get a couple people in. One of them was Jay Rodarte, and I must say thank you.
Yes.
So, anyway, guys, it's AMC Press time, and
yes,
Allison, take over for a minute, please.
Oh, sure. We are going to be discussing the Manti Te'o catfishing issue, among other interesting topics as of late. I saw the interview with Kay Couric. I knew that I have seen different interviews. I heard that Manti actually lied on the stand. He actually was using perjury, which could potentially be charged with perjury of the court due to what he has said, and even though he was a victim of being catfished.
So, and
what's your thought with that, Frodo, with the little Manti Te'o issue and him being catfished?
Oh, boy. Do we have to talk about him? Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of all these high up and high and mighty athletes that think they're better than everyone. I mean, seriously, you're just a human who is, through practice, capable of running really, 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 really quickly, or throwing a ball really, 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 really far, or jumping really, really, really high, or swimming really, really fast, you know? You've just
right.
trained your body to do all this stuff.
Very
Some people,
true.
Yes, are natural-born athletes and have that propensity to be able to, I'm going to learn this, to play football, and just go out and, you know? But
right,
to be perfectly
right.
honest, in my eyes, it's flaunting. But that's just me. You know.
Do you think he'll be drafted? Because
yeah, he will be. Almost everyone is, and he's actually pretty. Well, not everyone. I mean, but he's really good at what he does. So his chances of draft are really, really high.
It still doesn't make what he has done, or, okay, he's a victim, but there's also that point of saying, you did lie, you never met this woman.
Well, here's the thing here's what I think about that. If he really meant to lie, fine, you're a liar, live with it. But if he didn't, well then, that's a different story.
Right. And
you
I
know?
Watched the Kay Couric interview, and it was just like, okay, the father was making light of this situation when, in of itself, it's pretty big.
You know, and honestly, here's the thing. You know, the bottom line is the Fighting Irish are one of the best football teams with one of the most colorful and bright and vibrant histories in the history of college football. I get it. To be put into the Fighting Illini
is huge. Fine.
Right.
But God damn it, that doesn't mean you have to make a complete and utter jackass of yourself. Honestly, our university here in Iowa City, well, I live in a town north, but, you know, Iowa City is where the university is. And the thing is, they have a strict policy. If you're one of the athletes and you're caught drinking, you're suspended, period. No question. If you're caught drunk driving in our state at all and you're an Iowa football player, that's it. You're suspended until further notice. And the fact that people, that other universities don't do this while it's their prerogative, I think it's stupid. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So, yeah, that's my viewpoint on that. But let's get into something that was mentioned on Topher's show. I think this
okay.
is going to be big. But hold on 1 minute. You cover some stuff. Hold on.
I'm the type where whatever is going on, it should definitely, I hope whatever happens with Manti gets figured out. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. So, Topher, now I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with a huge disclaimer. We at AMC Press, our show is about 100% tolerance. That means
we don't
discriminate against you for anything. I don't care. I don't care if you're the dude who likes elephants. Who cares? I mean, I'm going extreme there, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, for God's sake, what is it? I'm Wiccan, and Allison, you're raised Catholic, right?
Yes, yep.
Okay. I mean, you can't get much further apart than that.
It's almost like I always go by, since I have a disability, I can't say something that's rude or anything because goes against my nature, and I'm the type where I would be like pot calling the kettle black when I know I have my own issues and I'm not afraid to say that I have a learning disorder and no one's perfect.
I have autistic disorder, you know. I'm autistic, I have mood disorders. I'm not the person that has any right to disagree with anyone.
Same here.
But at the same time, I will say this. While I don't am not a prejudiced type of person, I am a very good observer of idiocy. Ishine and Johnny in the chat room have both been witness to me being a fucking an observer of idiocy.
Oh, yes.
So, along with Allison, on multiple occasions.
Yeah, and Frodo,
we had one of those occasions on Tuesday's No Rules, Just Mike, when UCR Airways got introduced to what we have affectionately called on our show, a Toku's Rant.
Yeah, and it isn't shown until you hear a Toku's Rant, because you won't know what's going to come out of Frodo's mouth. And I'm thinking it will either leave you shocked in disbelief, or you're going to be like, okay, I could fucking see him saying that.
Well, and two of my favorite subjects have, if you bring them up today, but wow, then...
No, I wouldn't do that.
But I will bring up a subject that I did bring up on Tuesday, and that
okay.
was my hatred, well, my hatred of both Sony and Microsoft. My issue, now, I'm going to take the other side of the coin to this one. I ranted for how long was it, like 5 minutes? About
yeah,
Sony?
5 minutes, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go about 5, maybe 10 more on Microsoft now, I think. Because, okay, my honest opinion right now, the CEO of Microsoft right now, Stephen Ballmer, needs to get his fucking head checked. Because quite honestly, that motherfucker is crazier than any son of a bitch I've ever seen. I mean, literally. And the fact is, he's trying to force developers of products to go by his warped vision. Your warped vision is Windows 8, you stupid son of a bitch. And you know
and
what? Windows 8 is the worst failure on a consumer level since Windows ME.
I could see Windows 8 fucking failing. I'm sorry. No disrespect to those who have Windows 8 computers, but I see
I ran the developer preview. I ran the public release candidate. I ran the public beta of this operating system. And I'll be honest with you, yeah, Windows RT devices, Surfaces, the Surface tablet, great device, looks good, and it works because Windows 8 is based on a fucking, is based on a touchscreen interface. Johnny, yes, Windows Vista was pretty shoddy, and I agree with you 110%. But the problem is, Windows Vista didn't fucking take the start menu and destroy it. Windows 8 has destroyed the start menu. Now you have to know to hit the Windows key to bring up that start screen, which honestly looks like I'm playing fucking Pong on a fucking ping pong table rather than trying to launch an application.
That's fucked up. I'm sorry.
Okay, and trust me, I have tested it. I have played with it. I know what it looks like, and I fucking hate it. And I'm sorry, Microsoft. You may think that touch is the future. You may think that touch is the best thing to come since sliced bread. But you and Intel need to get your heads checked because it's a difference. There's a big difference between a tablet environment that's useful on a tablet or touchscreen interface and an environment that's proper for use with a good keyboard, with a good mouse, with a good fucking desk. It's a big fucking difference, and it's a disparity that I'm sorry, I cannot like. If you're going to release an operating system that changes like that, maybe you should consider adding a little bit of a fucking registry tweak that you can put in, where if people want the old school interface with the old school start button, with the old school desktop, they can have it without having to install third-party applications that bog your system down. Okay? I'm sorry. It just blows my mind that Microsoft has pushed the mouse and keyboard for so many years, and then the one time they get a whim on it, they fucking completely make it so that the mouse and keyboard is an afterthought.
And that's
I'm a gamer. I'm a fucking gamer. If you look at my keyboard right now, the most worn keys on my keyboard are WASD. And you know what? If I were to go to a Windows 8 computer, I'd have to get used to using fucking touchscreen interface to try and run my game. And honestly, most of my games don't run on touchscreen. I'm talking about Skyrim. Admittedly, Minecraft has been ported to touchscreens, but the fact is, no.
Right, I can't see you using it. Low on me. I would say Vista compares. Vista is, even though it's messed up, it still works.
You know, and honestly, yeah, you've worked on it. You've brought it up. You think it's a great operating system, okay? Yeah, it has some cool features. I'm not going to discourage that. You know, I do. If there's one thing I do like about Windows 8, it's the single login. You know, you log in once, and all your emails right there. All your news feeds are right there. Your SkyDrive is up and ready to go. I mean, that's nice. I will admit that. But
there's a point of where there's also a point where
it doesn't take away from the fucking errors that you've made. And honestly, Johnny, yes, I know I've mentioned this before. You're right, Windows Vista was shoddy. Have you ever ran Windows ME? That's when you go into the 13th barrier of hell. Oh, God. So, just
I'm
so I can make it.
Ran it. And how about we continue on? Can't
okay, well, we got Shirley. Shirley's in. Thank
yep.
God.
Hey, sorry I'm late, guys. Had another thing to do.
Okay. It's okay.
That's fine. You're here. I'm glad to have someone to bounce my thoughts off of. And I mean, sorry you had to be listening to a rant for the last 10 minutes, you guys, but quite honestly, it makes
hey,
sense.
It's okay. At least they'll be experiencing their first tofu rant.
That's
on
true.
Air.
That is so true.
So, go ahead, Allison.
I know Chit Chat was discussing favorite TV shows.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry for bouncing off topics,
No. This is what our show's doing right now. We're supposed to review. So, you want me to go through my top favorite shows?
Why not? I'm all ears.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. My favorite shows, I'm going to start off with early 90s, has to be the Power Rangers, for obvious reasons. Been a fan since I was 3 years old. Never a dull moment. I would
except for that fucking Clash of the Red Rangers movie.
Oh, yeah, that one I don't even count. It's like a red-headed child.
It's not a red-headed child. It's the child who got orphaned and has bounced between 50,000 fucking orphanages in their life. Sorry,
yeah.
I know sensitive subject, but still.
Yeah, I would have to say Doctor Who.
Good show.
Mm-hmm.
If I may cut in for a minute, I enjoy Doctor Who because instead of it going pew, 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 it goes thinking, thinking man's show.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say Torchwood.
It's
an app of Doctor Who. Very good show. Revenge on ABC.
Ah.
And I would have to say Once Upon a Time from ABC, and then my other sci-fi shows I like is Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Face Off, and Ghost Adventures. Yes, I like sci-fi. if you haven't noticed it already, I am a geek, and I'm proud of it. And I like that.
Sure.
Oh, ow. Yes.
Sorry. Sorry, Allison, but I think Shirley can go now, don't you?
Yeah. I know. I do, and finally, at least get out one, which I did, thankfully.
Yeah, okay. Favorite TV shows. Holy cow, I've got so many of them. And I don't have time to list them all, but let's see. Here's the start.
Let's just do the top five.
Okay. All right. All right. This, the first one is basically a whole set of shows. Have, do you guys know who Gerry Anderson is?
I've never heard of him, but I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Okay. If you remember on Sci-Fi, when it first started, they had Stingray, Captain Scarlet, and Terrahawks. All three of them are puppet shows. All three of them were made by Gerry Anderson. Of course, his most famous, Thunderbirds.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I like all the shows he did. Unfortunately, he passed away the day after Christmas at 83.
Wow.
Let me get a link up, and I'll let you read more information. But I have been a fan of this guy ever since I started watching the Sci-Fi Channel, when it was the Sci-Fi Channel before it came to Sci-Fi. But I thought all those shows were great to watch. So that put that up there. Let's see. Another favorite. This will sound crazy. I actually remember the show V in the 80s.
V?
V. The one with Mark Singer and Diana's hair getting bigger every episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you see, they had the updated version on ABC a couple years ago, but I remember the original.
Hmm.
And it was so, I mean,
cool.
Yeah, when I looked at the original, I found it was serious and everything, but when I watch it nowadays, I just laugh my ass off because it's like Diana, the main villainess in the show, her hair kept getting bigger and bigger every time. And it's so funny.
Okay.
And it's okay, that's number two. Number three. I'm gonna say Ben 10.
Yeah, and that's a good show too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Because I remember I saw the original first episode 3 days after Christmas in 2005, and I'm thinking, I think this show's got potential, and look where it is now.
Yeah, it really is
on Omniverse now.
Mm-hmm. It's on Omniverse now, and it's like it's probably the only thing on Cartoon Network that's been that sustainable as of late. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Another one I like, the original Transformers, Generation 1.
Okay.
You know, a
cool.
lot of people like 1G.
Yeah. Generation 1, nothing can top it. Peter Cullen, the best voice actor ever for Optimus Prime. There's nobody else who could do it better than he can, period.
Before you continue, I just want to say, for those that are camping out in the chat room and want to get involved, I know that some of you guys can't exactly do it unless you use Skype, but if you guys want to call in, we're going to accept all calls tonight. I'm saying, Johnny, if you want to call in, go ahead.
All is welcome. And for those who will be listening on demand, feel free to follow us on Facebook. You could keyword AMC Press into your search bar, and you'll be there. We'll also post that question as well.
what's your favorite TV series?
Make sure you hit, if you're going to call in, make sure you hit the one key so I can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Shirley. You have
right.
two more to go.
Okay, down to two, huh? Okay. All right, this one's going to go way back on this one. This is sound really crazy. Super Friends!
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I grew up watching that one.
That's not a oh, hell no, like, I'm not liking it.
Yeah.
That's an oh, hell no, like, holy shit, I remember that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's most likely before my time, so I'm not familiar with that.
Basically, you got Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman. The very first season had Marvin winning Wonder Dog. After that, they had the Wonder Twins and Gleek all the way through the rest of it.
Yeah, and wasn't it the predecessor to Justice League?
Yes. Of course, the original, the Super Friends officially ended in 1986. Justice League finally came back in, what, 2000, I think?
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was so funny looking how it was back then.
I believe it.
Yeah, where everything had a lesson somewhere.
I think all superhero shows have some lessons and have lessons built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And last one, Shirley?
Last one, I'm going to say Thundercats, old and new.
Very
because,
cool.
Yeah, I've watched both of them, and I'm glad when they did the reboot, they didn't make it too much like the 80s, because if they did, it would have killed it in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so
well,
fun hearing Larry Kenney doing Lino back then and Claudius now.
Yeah.
Speaking of Larry Kenney, we did do an interview with him, so don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn now. Well, first off, I gotta go number five, has to be Andromeda. I know it's something that not a lot of people have heard of.
I remember Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, it's got Kevin Sorbo who did Hercules and Hercules
mm-hmm.
Legendary Journeys. But it was created actually originally by Gene Roddenberry
mm-hmm.
as what he actually wanted in some ways for Star Trek. Okay? But
mm-hmm.
Michelle Roddenberry came in with the old information from the, like, blueprints for Andromeda, and she took it and made the show for it. So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think here. I think I'd have to go...
This is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. But it's a fun one to think about.
Yeah.
Home Improvement was always
yeah.
funny.
Home Improvement
was
definitely a good show. It was a great show.
It was funny. It had great chemistry between all the people who are a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not coarse. Well, not too coarse.
Right.
And it was just a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it when they had tool times. Like, Richard Karn's character knew a hell of a lot more than Tim Allen's did.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
That was funny.
Number three. Gonna have to think on this a little bit. Yes, Allison, I am going to cover the one of them you know.
Yeah, I'll pick it.
I have to say here,
here is going to be the first animated in my list, and that would be Bleach.
Ah.
Simply because, okay, I love that series. It's so good. I mean, there's the fillers that they have in the show are usually relegated to their own arcs, you know, and when you have an intra-arc filler, it has a purpose.
Right.
You know, it's not just some bullshit that they add in. There's a purpose. You may not know it till 10 episodes later, but there is a purpose behind it.
Right.
Number two, I can't choose one. So, in this place, I must choose all. And this one is actually going to be a tie. Well, actually, I could put one higher, just a little bit. But this rating, this higher rating, is just by the skin of the teeth. Number two, I have to give it to all current incarnations of Power Rangers, except for three. And that would be Operation Overdrive. Actually, first is the 2010 reboot pull bullshit.
Carter doesn't like that one. That's it's like his kryptonite.
Oh wait, let me recall my memory. That's the one where they kind of started over, but they kind of rebooted it a little bit.
And put all kinds of freaking Batman-esque effects into it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I hated that.
I did too. I was like, what the what?
The second.
That's why
Second season of Power Rangers I do not put in my favorites is Operation Overdrive, with the exception of Once a Ranger.
Oh yeah, the one where all the different Rangers from different times all came together.
The theme song pissed me off. The fact that they didn't give any justice to Volkendra pissed me off. It just pissed me the fuck off altogether. Okay? And the least problem that I had was IMAC.
Yeah, that kind of... The character could have been done better than what it was.
And the third season is the most recent. And the reason behind that is because there was just so many drop chances. They could have made Decker blast to the past about, you know, this guy was a fighter for good, and the fact is now he fell into evil because of the fact that, you know, he tried to be good, he tried to do everything, he tried to make it all work out, and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, it was a huge drop ball there. Second, they could have made a huge reference to, the Green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm. You know, maybe having Mike do something that was reminiscent of the Green Samurai Ranger, you know? I mean, I understand that I'm not the demographic, so I'm being very harsh, but now for my number one choice, for my absolute favorite show ever, Karen, I'm sorry, this beats you out by literally the skin of my teeth, but even you gotta admit, it has been around a lot longer, and a lot of the stuff that happened on that show broke television. And that, of course, is Star Trek.
Of course.
All incarnations of Star Trek, I love them all.
The only one that really left a sour taste in my mouth, and was only because of the final episode, is Enterprise.
Oh.
I mean, you couldn't have chosen a more fucked up way to end the series, but that being said, I mean, I'm such a big fan of Star Trek. One of the only MMOs I play is Star Trek Online.
Mm-hmm.
So, big fan.
And I could attest to that, too.
Huh?
And I said I could attest to that, too.
Well, the fact is, you know, I mean, and I'm not dissing anything about anything that's happened, right?
Right.
But with anything, no dissing on Power Rangers, no dissing on any of the other shows that were mentioned. But, I mean,
right,
when you've got a show that premiered in 1960 and was going with regularity, having new series going up until about 2001, you know, there's not many shows that can say, yeah, I've lasted 40 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The only one that I know of that can match that is Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Doctor Who is older stuff I really need to get into. They have audio dramas, too, I found out.
They have everything, Doctor Who, but needless to say, and here's how big Doctor Who and Star Trek are. They've had crossover.
That's very cool.
You know, there's been Star Trek Doctor Who crossovers. Star Trek TNG comes to mind as an example. You know, so it's not like they've not given homage to each other. I mean, seriously.
Right.
There was an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation in which Captain Picard was walking down the corridor, comes to a door, he steps out of it, and behind the door is nothing but empty space. Obviously, he's like, ah, shit! Backs out, goes back through the door, and it's back to normal. But that was an homage to how big TARDIS is on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
On the outside you see and look like a strange looking blue call box. Go inside, you feel like you're staying in a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I have no issue with anyone in their choices, but like I said, that's just me.
That's fine.
That's how I feel.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Me neither.
And I hope Karen forgives me for saying that.
I'm sure she will.
I'm sure she can understand. I mean, Star Trek, I was raised on it.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. So, anyway, also, I just want to say from Topher's show on Thursday, and Shirley, you weren't there, so you don't know about this, I don't think.
No.
But Topher was talking about how everyone in the show and everything supports him, and, you know, I just want to put it out there and say, you know, Topher, it takes a lot of guts to come out as a homosexual, and honestly, all the people that have come out as such, you have my props, because it would be, if I were gay, I'd be scared shitless to come out.
I would feel the same way. I think I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
Well, I'd be terrified too if I were like that.
So, I'm not, you don't hear me disrespecting. I'm just, my point being is,
I respect you guys greatly.
Same here.
So do I.
So, I just wanted to put that out there, and now, what else can we cover, Allison?
I know yesterday we had something planned that you wanted to talk about, however that changed. Why don't you bring it up on here about that issue?
Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else.
Okay. You have the floor.
Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to find the link for this.
And whatever links we will be putting up, we will be also putting up on NC Press.
Okay. Okay, so THQ, the video game company, has recently went out of business.
Mm.
And as part of them going out of business, they got split into little chunks. So, for example, Relic Entertainment, who is the home of Company of Heroes and Warhammer 40K, was bought by Sega for $26.6 million.
Mm. Now, wow, that's
okay,
so
cool. I'm just going to say this right now. To throw away $26.6 million on Warhammer, wow.
Yeah, that's like, okay, that's a whole lot of fucking money.
Okay, Volition Studio, with the lot specifically including Metro and Saints Row, a seemingly not red faction, was bought by Koch Media, K-O-C-H, for $22.3 million.
Hmm.
And for specific games, Evolve was bought by Take-Two, that doesn't have an Evolve doesn't have an existing franchise. It's underdeveloped, and it was bought by Take-Two for $11 million. South Park, the Stick of Trust, was bought by Ubisoft for $3.26 million.
Mm-hmm.
HQ Montreal, which included 1666 and Underdog, was bought by Ubisoft. Man, Ubisoft came out pretty well. And Homefront, the game, was bought by Crytek for $544,218. There's one huge missing number to it. Okay? And that is the WWE license that THQ holds. That has not been accounted for as of yet. So, there is one huge license out there. If you feel like throwing your number, your money into getting the ability to create create WWE games, go ahead. Johnny brings up another good point. I do want a bit of final farewell to the gamers channel.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, G4. All your original shows are now gone. Therefore, you are nothing but reruns of Cops, Cheaters, and other crap shows that I don't give a fuck less about. You will be sorely missed in your former form, but I hope and pray that someone somewhere decides to buy the X-Play name, the AOTS name, and use them on their own over-the-air channel.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can be informed about tech.
Yeah.
And yes,
And yes, Johnny, I will still always and forever be a tech guy. So therefore, I will be bringing you some tech news. I'll try to bring at least a story up for every episode of AMC Press. But I bid you adieu, G4. You will be missed.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Cheers. I'm gonna miss some. What's that show? Ninja Warrior. It was so much fun watching some of those people make absolute asses of themselves trying to get past the obstacle course.
Sasuke.
It was so funny watching them. Mm-hmm. But the fun thing is, you knew who the serious contenders were.
Yeah. But anyway, with that out of the way, I must now inform you guys that there are Barracuda network devices that have a very easy to exploit hole, that if you have a Barracuda device, I highly recommend you be careful, because someone with certain IP range can actually use a root password that's commonly known, and they will be able to get into your router and everything else, and with that kind of information, they could possibly get into your network and do some serious damage. And while I'm talking serious damage, I'm talking about taking full control of your computer and destroying data.
Okay, that's bad. That is serious. I highly recommend, if anyone has them, please be careful. Please be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that being said, didn't you have a story from Slashdot you wanted to share, Allison?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let me do a quick look on Slashdot. I'm still here. I'm just looking at something here.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some crazy stories.
There is a story from North Korea that they're thinking about taking a pot shot at us.
Sure.
Okay. Who wants to get a pot? Who wants a nuclear pot shot?
No.
Pass.
No. Yeah, they're talking about doing a new test, and the thing that they said is that they're aiming at the U.S. test. Not
You're,
fun, huh?
No, it isn't. That would not be good. That just makes me have no words to say, because that would freak me the fuck out.
Well, and yeah, it freaks me the hell out too, but it's... What are you going to do? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Very true. Because just like that story is definitely not something we've heard on it, on regular media. So that just is not the most pleasant, but
the Electronic Frontier Foundation petitioned the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to rescind its grant of a trademark registration on the word gamer, spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R. The registration should have never been granted, said the EFF IP
IP director, Corrine McShirley.
Yeah.
Sorry, my eyes are playing tricks on me. Gamer is a popular term referring to members of this vibrant gaming community, and we are happy to help them fight back and make sure the term goes back to the public domain where it belongs. Also in tech news, because I didn't get to do it yesterday, Nokia is releasing an 808 PureView phone. But here's the thing. It's the last of the Symbian phones to ever be released. If you've ever owned an old school, if you've ever owned an old school Nokia phone, that's Symbian. That's the Symbian OS. So needless to say, that's interesting also.
Yes, it is.
So, and sorry, I'm in my email going through and finding all my slash dot.
I found an interesting story. Well, British officials want citizens to make lots of snowmen with weird faces.
That's different.
That kind of reminds me of Doctor Who, in a way.
I just found out some information. Now, I'm going to put this publicly on the record. I do not like genetically modified crops at all. I don't like the idea of it. And now there's a hidden viral gene that's been found in genetically manufactured products. This particular gene, VUC, is responsible for a number of possible consequences that could affect human health, including inhibition of RNA silencing and production of proteins with known toxicity. So what do you think?
That's interesting.
Here's another one. A bankrupt Australian surgeon sues Google for an autocomplete. Okay, you know how when you search something on Google, you'll get responses saying, you know, this is a possibility?
Yes.
Okay. This guy named, kind of ironically, Guy Hinkston is suing Google in the U.S. for autocomplete defamation. When you typed in Guy, his name, Guy Hinkston, what would come up the first thing in the autocomplete was Guy Hinkston bankrupt. Now, bankruptcy proceedings are public knowledge. But they don't like, I mean, how would you feel if you were a surgeon and he doesn't like it because he wants people to think that he has a chance to serve them properly? So, yeah. And then, big Linux news. This is going to be huge. And actually some hardware news, too. Canonical, the company who creates Ubuntu Linux, with Ubuntu 14.04,
they're talking about making rolling upgrades, which basically means when a new upgrade is released for the OS, your computer will automatically update to the new version and it'll just roll. How you guys like that idea?
That's beneficial for those that have who have Android.
Yeah, well, it helps, but remember, Android is not Ubuntu. So, another bit of hardware news: Intel is leaving the desktop motherboard business. So, yeah.
Wow.
So that basically means you're never going to see another Intel motherboard again. Only companies like Asus and stuff like that. So, I'll be right back for a minute. I gotta take care of something, so, all right?
Okay.
Hold on a couple minutes.
Okay. I know that there's been some, do you think Honey Boo Boo and Shirley Temple could be considered the same person? Because there's some... There's a post from BuzzFeed about Shirley Temple and Honey Boo Boo are the same person. Shirley Temple recently claimed not to be Honey Boo Boo, which is weird, because they really have a lot in common. What's your thoughts with that?
Definitely strange.
Well, yes, it is. That's something that was questionable.
Allison?
Yes?
We got 2 minutes left in the show, so I think we should do some ending portion. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, here's the deal. We're always on every night at 10 p.m. Well, actually, it's 11 Eastern, 10 Central, my bad. And if you search in the top bar of your Blog Talk Radio for AMC Press News, you'll find us. We're in there, and we do our show, and, you know, we do what we do. AMCPress.wordpress.com is also our blog, so you can always... follow us there. You can follow our like pages. Our Facebook group is AMC Press The Group. AMC Press Live The Group. So join us there. Our individual like pages, I'm Master of Chaos and Allison, well, just find Allison and she's like page, you'll be good. What else do we got? We got so much going. We got individual Twitter accounts, Maybaby31. We've got LordCabot1984. We've got HRayGirl2. We've got... Do you have one, Shirley? Shirley? Well, you can look us up. But for all of us at AMC Press, and thank you for UCR, we will bid you adieu, and we will play you out with some of Keith's UCR music.
Yes.
Night, all. And
bye.
Hopefully we'll be back on next week.
Yes.
Night, all.
Bye.